was a child, I had no problem, I assure you, coming to the table to eat. When Nancy and I were young parents, you know, we often wondered what kind of eaters our children would be. Would they be fussy? Would they be picky? Would we have to prod them to eat their peas? Would they eat too much? Now, as a child, I never thought about that kind of stuff. My mom was a good cook. She mostly kept to the basics, mind you, but you knew when you came to the table that it would be good. You would leave the table filled up, for sure. But there was something else about our family dinner table. There were enough chairs for everyone. I wish I'd have had about 8 chairs at that little table for the kids. But when we came to the dinner table, there were enough chairs for everyone. Everyone had their own chair, of course. And in the early days, I remember we kind of graduated. There were 5 children in my family, and we kind of graduated through the chairs. But in the early days, when you were little, you sat on a stool. Sat so that you could be up high enough that you could eat properly. And as you got older and bigger, you sat on an adult chair. And boy, that was a happy day when you got off the stool, I got to tell you. But you always knew that there would be enough food. It would be tasty, and not only were you welcome at the table, it would be odd if you weren't there. Along with my brothers and sisters, I was expected to be there. And when Mom said, "Come to the table," you came. You didn't dilly-dally. You came to the table. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, we read about another kind of dinner meal. Not a family meal. It was more like a community dinner party. The host is Levi, and the guest of honor is Jesus. And in verse 29 of chapter 5 of Luke, we read, "Then Levi gave a big dinner for Jesus at his house. Many tax collectors and other people were eating there too." The party was for Jesus. But apparently Jesus attracted a crowd. And apparently Levi was okay with that because these additional people were people that he knew. They were fellow tax collectors. Levi was a tax collector. And others he met in his business or people that he met on the street. Now you might be asking yourself, who really is this Levi? Levi is Matthew, the same Matthew who later wrote the Gospel of Matthew, the same Matthew who Jesus called to be a disciple. The same Matthew who had been a tax collector up until the time that Jesus showed up at his booth in Capernaum and asked him to change professions. It's a strange mixture of people at his dinner party. A week ago Saturday, I was at 2 dinner parties in one day. And I proved to myself as we rolled in sometime after midnight that, you know what? I can still handle this. I wasn't sure, but I could. One of those was a retirement meal for my brother and his wife in Strathroy. And most of the people there were friends that they had met and become friends with over the years. Some were close friends, people that they'd gotten to know in school. And some, like Nancy and me, were family. Later on, we left that place and went back to Listowel to a gathering around a campfire in the backyard of some friends. And that occasion was a thank you reception offered by the host to all those people who had helped out. Their son had been in a rather serious accident in a remote area of British Columbia where he had encountered in exactly the wrong way a post-hole auger. And there was a time where he was close to death, but he survived and pulled through that. And there were a lot of people praying, and a lot of people in the aftermath contributed financially to his recovery. And it was a way of his parents to say thank you to all those who had helped out. Now, at both of those receptions, I didn't know everybody. But in each case, the connection for every person was either to the host or to the one being honored. And you know, that's normal. There has to be a connection like that. And unless you're a party crasher, you don't usually go to somewhere where you're not connected. You're either connected to the host or you're connected to the person who's being honored. I'm not sure how many of us sitting here today would have felt completely comfortable or at home at Levi's house. We might have been a tad uncomfortable. Luke says, tax gatherers and other people were eating at the table. And later on, we find out that the other people were labeled sinners. And the sinners are kind of lumped together with the tax gatherers, but we can speculate fairly accurately who they might be. And that's because Jesus, over the course of his ministry, made a habit of attracting these kinds of people. And it caused no end of consternation, maybe for his disciples, but certainly for the church of the day. These people were the oppressed. They were the outcasts of society, former prisoners, the blind, the lame, lepers, prostitutes, widows, and the poor. These people were barred admittance to all the favored social circles and also to the church. They were used to being on the fringe. They were acquainted with the expression, misery loves company. Their limited fellowship was in the sharing of their own sorrows. The other group at the party were tax collectors, and they were different as well. They were in a class actually all by themselves, and they were friends of Levi. Even though Jesus had called him to be a disciple, these guys, these men and women, were part of his past life. And you know, it's kind of interesting that they all showed up. When you become a Christian, you don't always know what to do with your friends. Your life is different, and you're not sure your friends get you anymore. They might think that you've gone off on a tangent. And that was almost certainly the case with Levi. Someone asked him to quit his job, and just like that, he did. Who does that? Who actually, just because someone asked them to, quits their job? Everyone was looking at Levi suspiciously that day. They wanted to see what he was up to. Tax collectors in Palestine were the lowest of the low. These guys were uber unpopular. What did Jesus see in Levi anyway? They took from their own people and they gave it to Rome. As long as they met their quota, they could tax whatever they wanted over and above that quota, and they usually did. People ducked when they saw these guys coming. Levi was regarded as the leech at the bottom of the pit. As Max Lucado puts it, he would pull his stretched limo right into the greasiest parts of town and set up his table and hold out his hand. No wonder people ran away. No wonder they took a different street just so they could avoid him. But now those very people who avoided him because they had no money, they were the most prominent names on the guest list, them and the tax collectors. As for Levi was a changed man. Before, all those days sitting in his tax booth collecting money, he had much wealth, but he was still empty. He was an expert at laying guilt on destitute consciences, but all the while he himself guilt-ridden in his silken ease. Every day, he was haunted by the hollow eyes of the poor, while his own eyes were constantly searching for the market where real life can be found. Having so much in material possessions, but being spiritually bankrupt. Seeing hundreds and hundreds of people pass by his booth, and yet being alone. And not anymore. Not this day, not anymore. His band of misfits, his fellow tax gatherers, he asked every one of them to the party in Jesus' honor. And he didn't care what they thought of him. It was his first evangelical outreach. But he didn't stop there with his friends, the tax collectors, the people that he knew well. He invited the misfits as well, the very people that he had exacted money from, those he could not look in the face because he had stolen from them so many times. And just like the person of Zacchaeus, who we encounter later in the Gospel of Luke, he wanted somehow, because he was convicted, he wanted somehow to make things right. Now, with this motley group of people gathered for a dinner party, a large gathering, Luke tells us, you might expect some protest. The dinner party would be no secret. The neighborhood would know. And there would be people that were peeking over the fence to see what was going on. I was reminded when I was was jotting these thoughts down, I was reminded of that sitcom from way back, Home Improvement. And Wilson was always at the fence, and he knew what was going on in the Taylor's backyard because he could see over the fence. There would be people looking over the fence. There would be cars parked up and down in front of Levi's house. People would know there was something going on. The religious leaders from the church were peeking over the fence too, and they quizzed the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax gatherers and sinners?" It is a question they cannot duck. In Middle Eastern culture, and in most cultures, when you eat with someone, what does it mean? It means that you accept them. Being at the table meant that you were included. The disciples don't know what to say. And in their stammering, Jesus actually answers the question with a proverb. It's not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. A New Testament translation called Moffat's translation words it, "I have not come to call the pious, but the irreligious." Christ's answer is startling, and it set the tone for the early church, the whole early church that you can read about in the book of Acts, as to the type of people that it invited into its fellowship. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the church became known for its common meals. No status, no affluence, no special criteria required to attend. In this moment, not only are Jesus' words clear, they are inescapable in their demand. After all, he kind of lumps us into two categories, and the two categories of people are the well and the sick, the saint and the sinner. And you know what? You have to decide what category you're in. I am caught. You are caught. We are no longer spectators at the banquet. We can't be people just looking over the fence. Neither can we be people sitting on the fence. Am I at the table with Jesus, the tax collectors, and the sinners? Or am I among the critics? I have to decide. Am I well or am I sick? Am I a saint or a sinner? If I choose the latter, if I decide that I am sick, and that I am still in need of ongoing redemption, it is not that Jesus has given me a choice to stay that way. And I think this is really important. It's not that Jesus wants us to stay that way. I have come to call sinners to repentance. Just because he accepts me, God is not going to indulge my continued sin. He is not providing an out, so to speak. Luke uses the word repentance more than any other gospel writer. Jesus himself creates the expectation of change, of commitment. We should not be lulled to sleep by Jesus' acceptance of all persons, including social and religious outcasts, and think from that life in God's reign is without its ethical expectations. Repentance is both a gift and it is a demand. But what an offer. What an invitation. St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Wingham, requests the honor of your presence at a banquet to be given in favor of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, who subjected himself to the will of humankind to the point of death, so that he could redeem human beings and give them new life. Praise be to God.